ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is November 3rd, 2016. A little break from protocol there at Real Tech, Eric. Yeah, that's right. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We're 5 days out from the election, the most important, really the most important election of our lifetime here in America. And for reasons that some people might not find 100%. For reasons that people may not believe to be the case. It's, folks, I've been spent much of the day involved in obtaining information about exactly what's going on behind the scenes with respect to the Clinton fiasco. And fiasco is the only word that I can use that doesn't, it's not profanity laced, I suppose. Drudge had linked to Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Alex Jones, and interestingly, he had linked to that for the live broadcast because the coverage is that critical. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is I was on with Alex Jones on InfoWars yesterday, and it's funny how the information that we talked about yesterday, the information I provided during that broadcast, was confirmed via the mainstream media last evening. Before we get into everything here, and we have a lot to get into, just want to remind people that we, in fact, broadcast live Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. Thanks for joining us, and we obviously we simulcast as well on YouTube Live. We're on Blog Talk Radio as well, so many venues to access our program. 111 countries last year, 64.5 million downloads and growing. I want to thank each and every one of you for your support and your belief in us. I also want to just address this very quickly. I believe that right now, things can go sideways, not sideways by definition of, not law enforcement sideways in terms of their definition of sideways. I think things could very well go sideways. I was talking to Steve Quayle earlier today, and as usual, and we were talking about a couple of different things. However, it's our belief that really between now, for the next 45 days or so, this is really the most dangerous time in modern American history. Trust me when I tell you that there are a lot of things taking place behind the scenes right now. And we're going to get into this a little bit. There are things taking place behind the scenes that a lot of people are in cover their butts mode. A lot of people are being faced right now, tonight. A lot of people have hard decisions, difficult decisions to make. I know this from my source. Inside the Beltway, they're being faced with some difficult decisions. When I say difficult, I suppose it wouldn't be difficult for the average normal person with integrity and with morals. But, you know, these people, many of these people, including some of the conservatives, including some who identify as Christian or just plain religious or spiritual, they're not like us. And that's the most difficult thing to really understand. These people are not like us, folks. They are not. They don't have the spiritual or moral compass. And that's really a critical thing to understand. There's the investigation, the behind-the-scenes investigation, and you may or may not have heard anything today. About the newest, you know, things that are taking place, but Just let me touch a few things, and I'm going to kick it over to Joe here. And then he can kick it back to me, because I've got some extremely important information that will expand upon what I spoke about yesterday on InfoWars, that will provide additional information, critical information, because it, just to show you exactly how tenuous the situation is and how dangerous the situation is. Just understand this, the investigation that's taking place, not just the visible one, but the one behind the scenes, is more expansive, more extensive, it's more intensive than anyone has any idea. There has been an investigation into the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Global Initiative. It's been 15 months. They've been investigating this for 15 months, folks. 15 months. I'm saying the FBI and other agencies, I'm going to leave it at that, have been investigating the Clinton Foundation for the last 15 months. No one expected anything to be made known about this investigation before the elections. What you saw in the consequential letter by Comey was a result of the findings on October 3rd by elements, by patriots working for the task force that includes the NYPD, New York State Police, the FBI, and other agents as well. I think the only...
Want to jump in here. The only hope I have with this investigation is the NYPD. And if they really have what is being reported that sources say they have...
They do. I mean, I can...
I mean, we've heard a lot, and we've seen a lot. And the problem with the FBI and the DOJ, there's already been in the investigation, I mean, and from the WikiLeaks email releases, we've seen the bribery scandals have been proven, what they call pay to play. There's already so much information out there. They could arrest her and her whole, all these people who are related to this, just based on the money for access, the bribery stuff that they have. I mean, they really could arrest the whole organization, depending on who, you know, benefited from it and who was part of it and making it happen. And the one big problem I have with the DOJ and the FBI, we've already seen the Department of Justice turn the FBI off from pursuing further legal matters into this Clinton probe. But they still answer to the same people in the DOJ and the FBI.
Not this group. not this group. You've got the visible investigation. You've got the investigation that's being directed by Comey, and that's being overseen, or was being overseen, by Lynch, and to some extent still is, and that's of the Clinton Foundation. But you don't have what you're not seeing is the parallel investigation by a group of others who are saying, enough, I've seen enough, we've seen, if you're not going to make this information known, then we will.
And that's why I said the NYPD is the only hope I have, if they are actually on top of this as much as we've been hearing, which I hope they are.
And they are. And remember, folks, I've been saying now for at least a week, I think, that the laptops of Heather Samuelson and Cheryl Mills were not destroyed as thought, as believed. Remember that, folks? You remember me saying that last week, I believe it was. Brett Baer came out and made that admission last night on Fox News. Made big headlines. Big headlines. Oh, my goodness. You know,
not for what you just said, but for talking about the chances of an indictment coming this soon.
But true.
Right after he talked about the indictment, he did mention that the FBI still had the devices in their custody.
Well, yes.
Which is something that you've been saying for at least a week or 10 days or more.
That's right. And that the only reason I'm saying this is not to say, you know, wow, you know, whoa, how great I am. No, this is to say that this verifies the legitimacy, the solid this really authenticates my source. Not that this individual needs any type of validation, because I know who this person is, but you don't. So that's a piece of information that that's, you know, really important. And again, as we've been, as I've been saying, the emails that were believed to have originated, well, not believed to, emails that were on, that originated from Hillary Clinton were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop. Now, the process, how they got there, everyone is saying, well, you know, the syncing, the cloud storage, the syncing of an iPhone. Okay, there's another, there's a whole nother part to this. The server, Hillary Clinton's server, was, now that this was also mentioned by Brett Baer, was hacked by at least 5 foreign intelligence agencies. Data was indeed transferred. Now,
Fox News has this up
right
in the form of an article, as well as many other places do. They say sources 99% chance foreign intel agencies breached the Clinton server. And they actually have dates, as well as nations they suspect that got in access to her private server. And it goes back to 2010 in through 2014 after she left the State Department. And I think they said at least 5 five nations.
Right.
But they China, I think, was one of them. Russia was one of them. But the... they say this, that authorities now believe a 99% chance that up to 5 foreign intelligence agencies may have accessed and taken emails from Hillary Clinton's private servers. 2 separate sources with intimate knowledge of the FBI investigation told Fox News. And even the House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul described Clinton's handling of her email system during her tenure as Secretary of State as treasonous.
Okay, and that word treason is important.
And that's the Homeland Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul.
These people knew about this for the most part. They knew about this. Well, when the initial diagnostics, the initial inspection analysis of the server was done, they knew about this as well. They knew about this. I guess I'm going to stop there, but there's another important aspect to this. Again, remember when I said they took the router? They're building a case, or at least they are showing that, or they're attempting to not attempting, but they're collecting evidence to support the possibility that data transferred. There was data transfer indeed, knowingly. This was a password-protected router. This had security on it, at least the basic security. And the indications are that information was transferred and shared with another device. The other device is identified through a specific address. Maybe my terminology is not exactly 100% on this. I'm not an IT guy. But they can tell which device it went to. If you follow that breadcrumb trail, the word treason does apply, because ultimately what we're looking at ties into something else I'm going to get into momentarily, but we're looking at the Islamic countries, specifically Qatar and Saudi Arabia, were the recipients of data from Clinton through Huma Abedin, using Weiner's devices. Okay, now, I want to take you, I want to draw your attention to something else very quickly that is part and parcel to this. There was a massive data theft in 2009 that took place. This is off of Drudge Report right now, and this was told to me earlier. I didn't quite know how this fit into things. The State Department emails Clinton White House data stolen from National Archives. a newly released email from the State Department shows that Hillary Clinton was informed in April of 2009 of a massive theft of data pertaining to Bill Clinton's White House records. Now, what does this mean? Well, let me reference some more here to give you some context. On April 13th, 2009, Cheryl Mills, and this is a name, Cheryl Mills is, in my view, I guess I have to couch everything with, in my professional opinion, you're going to hear a lot more about Cheryl Mills. You're going to be hearing a lot more about Heather Samuelson, Brian Pagliano. But for now, Cheryl Mills informed Clinton that the National Archives could not account for a 2-terabyte hard drive. All right, the hard drive contained information from the administration of Bill Clinton during during his presidency. Now this is beyond. I mean, this is so incredibly important. Just allow me to digress a moment, because we've seen this happen before. You've got a 2-terabyte hard drive missing from the National Archives. If you go back to 1946, and again, I just want to set this up because I think this is so important. I'm just going to hit this as hard as I can right now. Go back to the summer of 46. A State Department official by the name of Samuel Klaus wrote up a long, a confidential memo about security problems that were plaguing the Department of State. Boy, seems like the Department of State Department has had problems. It was a 106-page report, and you've heard me talk about this before. It was a 106-page report that was dated August 3rd, 1946, that contained the names, personal information, and some startling revelations about people, the number of Soviet agents that were on the State Department payroll. In other words, the communist infiltration of the Department of State. This goes back to 1946. This memo was incredibly important. Elger Hiss was on. I mean, just to give you one example, Elger Hiss was on. But these were Communist Party members that had infiltrated the Department of State back in 1946. Now, before you start yawning and saying, I don't want a history lesson, I'm not really giving you a history lesson. I'm just putting what happened today, or what was revealed today, on the mainstream media in context. It was in 1950 that, during the height of the loyalty security furor back then, that was raging around the State Department, Senator Joe McCarthy learned about this memo and just went bananas, okay, and said, man, we got to do something about this. Now, this is included in a book called Blacklisted by History by M. Stanton Evans. To fast forward here, a memo turned up missing in 1946. 4 years later, McCarthy comes on the scene. Where's the memo? One of the most revealing documents ever put together about the communist infiltration into the Department of State. The U.S. government was this is a top secret special access program type document. All right. When M. Stanton Evans went to research McCarthy, things like that memo and such, for the purposes of writing his book, he notes that the National Archives of the United States hold all of these documents. They hold all of the data. They hold all of this, just as the 2-terabyte hard drive. Therefore, this 106-page document should have been in the National Archives. But here's where it gets kind of twisted. In the index to the papers of Samuel Klaus, which is the aforementioned memo. The document was listed as it being there in the National Archives. The file was brought out, was examined by M. Stanton Evans. It's discovered that the file was missing, the memo was missing. The file contained a notice where the memo had been, saying it had been withdrawn from the National Archives in, you ready for this? 1993. Now, wait a minute. You got a 1946 memo, or a memo written in 1946 of communist infiltration into the Department of State. The National Archives has a copy of it. M. Stanton Evans goes to the National Archives in 1993, or goes to the National Archives, and in the where the memo should be, a note saying that it was withdrawn from the National Archives, taken, removed from the National Archives in March of 1993. That's the second time this memo vanished. The first time was from the papers of Klaus. This was one of many Cold War papers, Cold War era communist papers that had gone AWOL. There were two dozen other documents from the State Department relating to security issues, communist infiltration, spying, that were supplied to the National Archives as well. Now, you have to understand, these were congressional reports. Beautiful covers, you know, nice covers on the reports. The covers were there. The guts, the papers, were gone. You might think, so what? You know, all of this is nice, but yawn. Well, no, don't yawn, because you've got to ask yourself this, and that's all I'm going to... Yeah, there you go.
I'm kidding.
What would possess someone from removing a document dating 1946, dated 1946, from the National Archives a half a century later?
That's something on there that surpasses time as far as the content.
Right. And by the
way, you have stuff from JFK assassination that's still classified and will be classified through 2027. You have 9/11 documents that are going to be classified for 100 years.
Classification is different. I'm talking about somebody walking into the National Archives, Sandy Berger, and taking things without authorization. You're not allowed to take stuff out of the National Archives.
No.
Except when you're Sandy Berger, then when you get caught, you know, you get spanked, verbally spanked and dressed down and then told to go home and sit down and be quiet. But anyway, now you've got today, not quite 50 years, this is just from 2009, a 2 terabyte hard drive that's missing from the National Archives that goes back to Bill Clinton's presidency. The press, the media, the bloggers, everyone out there, folks, do not underestimate how important this is.
The information on that was not printed out and kept in a hard copy format.
There were backups made, and I'm not going to even mention where the backups are. Goodness knows, they could disappear too. But what's important about this, remember the word treason? Well, let's forget about the word treason just for a moment. Just espionage and Hillary Clinton, or espionage and the Clintons. At the epicenter of the espionage is the pay-to-play for the Clinton Foundation. Again, an investigation that's been 15 months since it was opened. Now, you can see that in 2009, this goes back to 2009 now, Cheryl Mills informs Hillary, hey, guess what? A 2 terabyte hard drive from when your husband was the president in the White House. Oh, and when you were first lady, that's stored at the National Archives, that contained emails, that contained documents from state sensitive secret documents. It's gone from the National Archives. You heard what happened with the Klaus memo. That's just one small thing, and plus a couple of dozen other papers. 50 years after the fact, isn't it interesting? 1993, it was missing, signed out, missing, gone. That's 50 years after the fact. Now, in 2009, after almost a decade of the Clinton presidency, this 2 terabyte hard drive is missing. What you have to ask yourself, what did that contain? The comparison between the two is that our history, the documentation is being gutted. Evidence is being removed as we speak. That 2 terabyte hard drive contained a lot of information, dealings with China, dealings with foreign entities by Bill Clinton in his capacity as president, that were carried on with Hillary, as Hillary Clinton is in the Department of State. Spying, espionage, information for money, selling out your country. It is all but proven. This is all but Exhibit A for the court. Going to be right back. You're listening to the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, together. America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Hagman and the Hagman Report coming to you, exposing the culture of criminal corruption by the Clinton cabal. But folks, understand, it's more than Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton. It's more than that. This is the corruption of the Uniparty. Why do you think there's such a pushback against releasing this information? Why do you think that Congress wouldn't convene? And why do you think, for example, there wouldn't be at the very least a grand jury impaneled, if not a special prosecutor named in this case? Because everyone's hands are dirty. Everyone's hands are dirty. That includes on the right and on the left. It's almost like you dangle $100 bill in front of these people. What happens? I mean, they're corrupted. This is not limited to the Clintons. When this hits the fan, and it will, it's going to have stink on a lot of people inside that beltway. But I left off, and I'm going to tell you where this particular drive that at least from us, you're going to be hearing more about this. The drive that went missing in 2009, interestingly, right before Hillary was placed into the position of Secretary of State. But having said that, I want to address something that involves the Chinese as well. But before we do that, I want to mention, folks, if you haven't done so already, now would be a great time to get your preps in order. One of the most essential preps, in my view, if you've got the food, the long-term storable food, or even if you don't, but you cook on a stove, and you have a supply or power disruption, what are you going to use? The Minuteman Rocket Stove is the perfect, absolutely perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. It is a wood-burning stove, just a few sticks and twigs, anywhere. You can find it in downtown or in the middle of the Bronx. It requires only a small amount of sticks, twigs for fuel. You're always going to be able to find enough fuel for the Minuteman stove, and it turns that into a furnace. It's just fantastic. Now, the Minuteman rocket stove is made like a tank. I mean, look, It's fully insulated. It's got ceramic refractory insulation. It directs the heat specifically on what needs to be warmed up or heated, which results in cooking power comparable to a kitchen stove. It can also be used, you can sit it on a picnic table because the outside doesn't get hot because of the insulation. It's an ammo can. It's a 50 caliber ammo can that's designed to keep the heat in, not out. It's designed to keep the smoke down. So if the smoke, you know, if that is of concern to you, no worries there. MinutemanStove.com. Minuteman stoves are made in America. They're made in America. They're made in America. MinutemanStoves.com. And, you know, not only are they made in America, they are also serving with our troops overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan. These things are handmade. They're battle-proven. They're extremely rugged. Minuteman stoves come with a 2-year warranty, no hassle warranty, but you know what? No one has ever filed a claim on that. Folks, visit MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. We have one. Both Joe and I have one. It's, you know, by the way, it's got a seal on top for the lid. It's just fantastic. The best there is, the Cadillac of rocket stoves. That's MinutemanStove.com.
I fired mine up, I think, not this last weekend, but the week before that, at my house to show my wife how it worked, and she loved it too.
It's great, man.
Yeah, and we boiled a pot of water on there, and I forget what we put in there, but yeah, it worked very well. I mean, we started fires in there before, but actually taking the pot out in there and using it as it's intended, it
works
pretty
like
well.
A charm. The missing hard drive, the reference to the 1946 memo from the National Archives, all of this obviously shows that the espionage is still taking place. But I found something here, and I was actually directed to something, and I found something about the Clinton presidency. Of course, we all know what was going on during that time. Throughout the Clinton presidency, Chinese agents gained access, unprecedented access, to sensitive parts of the executive branch, of course. It was not gained through subterfuge. No one had to go through the back door or climb through the window, but through illegal and secretive campaign contributions from Asian businessmen with ties to the Chinese military. You remember, ladies and gentlemen, this, the Clinton Chinese connection. Remember Johnny Wong? Okay, in the late 1990s, the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee found that top Chinese liaison Johnny Wong, later sentenced to a probation for violating campaign finance laws, he was given extraordinary access to the White House. And guess what? From court records, specifically and especially to the First Lady's office, meaning Hillary Clinton. The committee's final report on this said, and I quote, "There can be no question that Wong's contributions to the Democratic National Committee helped give him access to the President and the First Lady." See, what we're talking about here is a continuing course of criminal conduct from the first day that Bill Clinton assumed office as the President and Hillary as the First Lady. I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed when I was going through documents, going through books, going through various entries. I was absolutely blown away. Even though I heard this back when it was taking place, I heard this in the 2000s, and I've read this. Do you know that it was not just Bill Clinton, but it was Hillary Clinton who really led the charge with the campaign money using the clout of Bill? But she was holding the bag. She was the money carrier. And this is verified and validated by Senate, by congressional investigative reports. Let me read this one more time. This one finding that Johnny Wong, later sentenced to probation for violating campaign laws, was given extraordinary access to the White House, and specifically and especially to the first, to the office of the First Lady, meaning Hillary Clinton. There was a direct nexus between Wong's visit to the White House and his contributions. This is going back into the 90s now. In fact, White House officials collected money from him in the First Lady's office. They collected cash money in Hillary Clinton's West Wing office in exchange for permitting him to bring a delegation of clients into the White House. Johnny Wong and his company donated $366,000 to the DNC, made at least 49 visits to the Clinton White House between 1994 and 1996, and in 1995, he told the Los Angeles Times that he saw the White House like a subway. You have to put in coins to open the gates. Where is the media? My goodness, people, listen to me. They are selling out. In particular, Hillary Clinton has sold this country out to foreign interests. And when she was First Lady, I'm not even sure I can use that. I'm not even sure that's an accurate term, First Lady. Maybe first might be accurate. Lady, I'm not so sure about. $366,000 to the DNC between 94 and 96 in the office of Hillary. And Wong comments to the LA Times, yes, no, White House is like a subway. You have to put coins in it to open the gates. Clinton's a gatekeeper, controlling access to his wife, when she was senator. She came on her own, became on her own when she was Secretary of State. This goes back to the 90s. I guess the thing I want everyone to understand is what you're seeing today is part and parcel. That drive, that hard drive that is missing, the 2 terabyte hard drive, addresses the selling for cash, selling out of our country. Now, how in the world can anyone, ladies and gentlemen, excuse Hillary Clinton with that joker smile? And I'm dead serious when I say this. I've been in contact with a couple of corporate media people to explain about this. When I say corporate media, I'm talking syndicated media. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'll see what they do with this. But ladies and gentlemen, understand how deep this is. This is not just about the emails. This is not just about, I was careless. Hillary Clinton set the server up for the reasons I'm telling you, so she would have unfettered and unmolested ability to sell out our national secrets without the purview of any oversight or inspector general, which, by the way, the State Department, and she fought against having an inspector general overseeing the State Department during her tenure. You realize there was no permanent inspector general who oversees the actions of the State Department. That's the espionage. That's the pay to play. That's the Clinton Foundation right here. This is the iceberg that is visible, or at least some of it that's visible, that people can say, I heard something about that. What's underneath the water, the iceberg is even bigger, and that pertains to the sexual depravity of the people. And guess what? The sexual depravity is the same thing that's also keeping Hillary Clinton alive, because the depravity of the sexual activities of Clinton, and I'm not talking about Bill in this case, or just Bill in this case, but Hillary as well, and Huma, and Anthony Weiner, their associations with the Saudis, with other Middle Eastern countries. I suppose I should say this is all alleged, and in my opinion, that is about ready to come out. And if it does,
I mean, it has come out.
Well,
to an extent,
not to the extent. No, you have.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the money and the. I mean, we already know Saudi Arabia paid Clinton State Department $13 million and turned around and got $495 million arms deal. And then that's one of the things that bothers me. You know, talking about all this, you know, this bribery evidence that's been back from the first Bill Clinton White House, yet they still remain in power. And one of the reasons is, you know, you have people like James Comey, who has time and time again helped cover the tracks of the Clintons, get investigations swept under the rug. Then you have, you know, the different mysterious deaths and things that happen.
And that's right. And the deaths, by the way,
but all of it
Seth Rich, including and especially Seth Rich, the latest, Joe, and you're right on the money with this. I know you were looking really hard at this. That was absolutely, can be, in my view, can be absolutely connected to Hillary Clinton. But go on.
I mean, sure, it can. And it seems like these people who, you know, what are we on, the 28th release of the Podesta emails?
And, you know, 28 days. We've got them all, people. We got them all.
But see, that's just the problem. I mean, the same people are in charge. You know, like I said, the FBI, you have Comey, you have Lynch, the DOJ. I just don't see, unless, you know, like Pastor Langford said last night, unless God allows a miracle, which surely can happen if people come together and pray.
There will be something. No, you see, but I understand what you're saying. I don't see this going anywhere. I don't see.
I see it as a distraction from. You know, they're going to steal the. I mean, what happens if
Steve Pachinik is
a week from today? We're sitting here, and there is a Hillary Clinton president-elect, and still all this talk about investigations that has gone nowhere.
When I tell you this, I mean, it would be different if you didn't have this group of patriots that have said, okay, you know what? We've seen enough. We at this point, if we do nothing, then we are just as guilty of espionage and treason as these people are. So we have to right now do what we have to, whatever must be done in order to release this to the public. And now, Joe, okay, in fairness to you, I understand your frustration, but let me tell you something.
It's not frustrated. I'm beyond
or the practicality of it. But listen to me. They've got the goods. Now, one might say, well, if they've got this stuff, why not just release it? Right? That makes sense to me. It makes sense to everybody. If they got all this stuff, just release it.
If they're really wanting to stop her from gaining power into the White House, and they have the evidence, why not?
Okay.
I mean, it's not like, unless they made a big enough push and the evidence was that damning. But, mainstream media would have to pick it up.
Yes, but here's how it was explained to me. They've got the evidence. Yes, they are going to release it, but releasing all of the evidence would place our national security at risk. All right?
The Hillary Clinton presidency.
Well, wait a second. But wait. See, these people... Look, you've got the people who want to burn this country to the ground. They don't give a damn about this country or their children or their grandchildren. They could care less. They'll sell it out. And if the country burns down to the ground, it doesn't matter. But see, the people behind this that are pushing for this, yeah, they will get this information out, but not at the expense of our national security, not at the expense of, not at the expense of potential war by other countries. This will happen. Let some of the democratic process work. Believe in the Constitution. Do your best to conform to the Constitution. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, look, they don't want to see the country burned to the ground. Just imagine this. I'm trying to think of an analogy that would be suitable. I don't know. You know the reaction by African Americans by the police shootings, right? The shootings of killings of unarmed blacks, and how that's amplified. Imagine that 1,000, you know, fold or 10,000 fold in this country. Do you want to see? I mean, would you want to be responsible for that? Would you want to be responsible for that kind of civil unrest, violence, and the scorched earth policy behind? So the group here that's pushing for this, they don't want this country destroyed. They want the information out. And just because there's this period or this delicious interest, I want to see it. Oh, show me. Well, wait a second. Think about the consequences. Yeah, things will get out, but we're going to do it right, do it properly. I don't know if that makes sense, but you don't want to destroy the country in the process, the very country you're trying to save in the process. Do you? I mean, does that make sense to you? Or
it does, but I don't see how releasing specific evidence showing, and there already is evidence showing the pay-to-play or bribery crimes that Hillary Clinton and her inner circle have committed from...
I was kind of surprised at you, though, because you've been involved in their investigations long enough to know.
You don't
tip your hand. I mean,
like you said at the beginning of the show, and I agree with it, this is the most important election in history, just like was, you know, a few years ago, the last election. It seems like any time anymore, this is where we are in our country. And there's a great write-up. I'm not going to be able to read it all, but I want to direct people there, because there's a student at Columbia who makes it's the youngcons.com. Columbia University made me vote for Donald Trump by Benjamin Sweetwood. I would urge everybody to read that. I'll post it on our website here.
Well,
and it talks about the chaos the left creates, the divide, the social, the snowflake social justice warriors, and it gives it's a very long detailed thing. But we see that we're at this crossroads in the country, and you have a person like Hillary Clinton she's the nominee for the Democratic Party, and you have Donald Trump. Not only does Hillary Clinton have the advantage in that her party's in power and they have been in a, you know, communist takeover of this country for years, but they're in power now and they have the ability and the media behind them to steal the election, to take it and I was going through this before the show, you know, Donald Trump, they said he couldn't win the primary. He couldn't win the Republican nomination. The media wrote him off. The party wrote him off. He wins.
Right?
And then the media continues to write him off. Oh, he could never beat Hillary Clinton. How many times have we seen the polls? Oh, you know, there's no way. The vote's already over. She's going to win because of electoral college.
Right.
They started the Never Trump movement. He gains more momentum.
Republicans and conservatives and Christian conservatives, what I call the contemptible Christian conservatives, are a part of that movement. The sanctimonious fools, but I digress.
And you have all these issues with Hillary Clinton after the primaries, after she became the nominee, her health issues, all this criminal stuff that has been going on with her. Well, Donald Trump has been getting stronger in the polls, stronger in his live audience outreach and the live crowds on YouTube, his social media following, all these indicators that show he is, you know, I would say five to one ahead of any popular vote in the U.S. And Hillary Clinton's getting debate questions given to her so she can have some kind of edge ahead of time, and using the debates to just attack Donald Trump without addressing the policy issues that were asked in some of those questions. She's very weak, and it shows that she's very weak. Everything that she's been doing, the photoshopping of campaign rallies, the having to cover up and just constantly deflect from all these scandals that have been going on, making up scandals about Donald Trump that are actually she's guilty of just to mirror and to deflect more. Well, Trump's been getting stronger and stronger, except the media has been working for the Clinton campaign.
Of course, sure,
sir. They're oppressing the Donald Trump popularity and rising Hillary Clinton's unpopularity. I just read a story that said her unfavorability rating is above that of Donald Trump's, over 60% in the country.
Right.
It's just beyond mind-boggling to think that she even has a chance without stealing the election. Now, my whole point is
they will.
She's like one of the worst people in the history of the world to run for president. If these people don't step up and at least show the American people, they have to some degree the proof from the emails, but
and more is coming.
I don't see how they can the country's going to burn if they don't do it.
The country, well, they're trying to keep the country from burning. I mean,
but if you let Hillary Clinton win, it's game over.
Okay.
If you have that information and you don't use it and you let her win, you're doing just as big as a disservice as if you didn't do anything.
You're dealing with foreign interests. You're dealing with national security secrets. You're dealing with a lot of things. If you think that this goes beyond any kind of...
What could come out that would be more damaging or that would make the country burn down or start,
because this involves...
tearing themselves apart that we have... I mean, we've seen so much stuff from this...
Yeah, but you ask that question so cavalier-like. You got to understand, this involves people on both sides of the aisle. This involves lawmakers, at the Gang of Eight. This involves past and present lawmakers. This involves people high within the Department of Justice. You know, but what, you just throw a couple of pictures out there, we'll say, or a couple of documents out there. Oh, those are Photoshopped. Remember the pushback from the birth certificate. Oh, that, well, here's my birth certificate. Well, it was a bunch of BS. It wasn't the birth certificate. There was nothing like that. Now, with the pictures and stuff, oh, those are Photoshopped. You've got to overcome and this is a very fine line. Now, I'm not making excuses, but you've got to strike a balance between providing information that could be authenticated or photographs that could be irrefutable, documents that could be irrefutable. You got to balance that against releasing too much information that would involve foreign powers or other foreign countries that by disclosing what you've got, by showing the espionage, would invite potential foreign entanglements. While the other side of this, releasing too much, do you really want to be responsible? Would you want to be responsible for a civil war?
Well, see, that's
why
they have provisions in place. I don't see a civil war happening because half of Washington, D.C.'s elected officials get taken down.
Okay,
I don't see that happening.
But you've got to think deep.
This
is why I'm so frustrated. Maybe I'm not articulating it. Is it me where I'm not articulating the reasons?
Well, I guess the reasons aren't... You say national security implications. I understand foreign government entanglement and espionage and, the risk of maybe outside attacks.
Well, right. You go back to, okay.
That's like you protecting or shielding criminals for the sake of not having a riot, almost, is what you're saying.
We're not talking about just the small thing. We're talking about burning this country to the ground, and this is what these people would actually do. If I'm going down, everyone's going down. Oh man, you know what? Watch Hagman Report,
right?
I agree. But so for once, people have got friggin' morals and concern.
Maybe I'm not understanding it right. Brandon House is our guest coming up next. He will be with us. worldviewweekend.com.
And by the way, watch HagmanReport.com. I'll be putting a lot of this information. My office looks like a fourth year or third year law student with books, papers everywhere, stuff taped here and there.
And we'll be talking about this more.